This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. It may be weeks before a clear picture emerges of the number killed by Sunday's tsunami in the Indian Ocean. At this hour, the death toll has reached nearly 44,000. 11 countries were hit by the walls of water that came ashore on a morning that began clear and bright from Indonesia and Malaysia to Kenya and Somalia in the east coast of Africa. The tsunami was caused by an underwater earthquake that measured 9.0, one of the strongest ever recorded. Its epicenter was just off the west coast of the Indonesian island of Sumatra. NPR's Michael Sullivan is in Jakarta, the Indonesian capital. Michael, tell us about relief efforts there and elsewhere.
Well, Renee, at this point, I think they're pretty much in full swing in most places. That is, places where relief officials can reach them. Foreign aid is beginning to pour in as well. The UN says it has hundreds of planes packed with relief supplies heading to the region, to Sri Lanka, southern India, Indonesia, and other places. And here in Indonesia, the government has made it clear it will allow those relief supplies and relief workers into Aceh, the area hardest hit, even though their access there has been restricted in the past because of the ongoing separatist rebellion there. Now the soldiers sent to put down that rebellion are actually helping in the relief effort. And there's about 50,000 of them there, so that's a good thing. And the rebels there have agreed to a ceasefire while this whole thing is sorted out, so I guess that's a good thing too.
What about the fear of disease, of cholera and malaria?
Yeah, I guess that's the trickiest point at this point, because we're pretty much past the point of talking about rescue. It's time to collect the bodies and dispose of them before the waterborne diseases can start showing up here in a big way. And it's time to start taking care of the living, which means providing them with clean water, with clean food, with medicine, trying to get them healthy enough, quickly enough, to help deal with whatever it is that might be coming down now that it's been almost 3 days since this quake happened.
Now, the Indonesian province of Aceh, which you just spoke of, is closest to where the earthquake struck, so it received a double blow, I gather. The death toll in Sri Lanka is said to be one of the highest.
Sri Lanka is said to be the highest so far. I think we have to wait and see. I mean, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but now with the television pictures that are coming out of Aceh, the local TV pictures, I think it's a lot clearer that the death toll here is going to be quite high. As you said, I mean, they really got a double whammy. They had buildings coming down, trapping people with roads and bridges out. I mean, that was just from the earthquake. And then, of course, the waves that struck all around the region struck in Aceh, too, and they wiped out entire villages. Now, the center of the capital, Banda Aceh, it was just a scene of complete destruction. I mean, the television picture showed bodies lined up in neat rows everywhere, and I mean hundreds of bodies, and many of the victims were those who were the smallest and the weakest, which of course are children. So it's a pretty grim picture there. And Indonesian officials are talking about some 3,000 people killed in the capital Banda Aceh alone. And there are still some pretty big towns, villages that haven't been heard from at all, that aid workers and the army, they haven't reached. And Indonesia's Vice President Yusuf Kalla says he expects the death toll in Aceh could climb above 25,000 people. That's 25,000 people in one province in just one country.
And, of course, ahead, massive cleanup and a reconstruction effort that will last for probably months and months and reach into the billions of dollars.
Yeah, and then, of course, along with those numbers, I mean, a lot of which is no doubt infrastructure, you have to figure out the cost to the people who were affected here. I mean, we are talking about literally millions of people in South Asia. Sure, lots of buildings and roads and airports and hotels and beach resorts and all that will have to be rebuilt, and that's going to take a lot of money. But what about these people's homes? I mean, there's a lot of these people. They were desperately poor to start with, these farmers and fishermen and the like. Who's going to pay them to have their simple shacks rebuilt? Who's going to give them money for seeds, or who's going to give them money for new boats or things like that? I don't think we know the answer to those questions yet.
Michael, thanks very much. NPR's Michael Sullivan speaking from Jakarta, Indonesia.